Food Today, science-based information on food, nutrition and safety. From UFIC, the European Food Information Council. Barry Shane, a professor of nutritional sciences and toxicology at the University of California in Berkeley, California, in the United States, gave us an overview of the important role of folate for health.
In the early 1990s, a study by the MRC in London showed that given women who previously had a child with a birth defect, folic acid greatly reduced the incidence or reoccurrence of this disease. So it was a very dramatic discovery, and the reason for this even now is not known, but up to 80% of the major birth defects can be prevented if women receive folic acid in the first 3 weeks of pregnancy. Public health messages to women that they should do this were not very successful, and many women don't realize they're pregnant until after the period when they need folic acid. So in the US in the mid-1990s, they decided to fortify the food supply with folic acid to make sure that women got enough folic acid in early pregnancy. This was somewhat controversial because this is the first instance of fortifying the food supply with a nutrient, not because the food supply was deficient in the nutrient, but to actually treat a clinical condition.
Have folic acid fortification programs been effective?
The fortification program has been very effective in the US and also in the over 50 other countries that now fortify the food supply with folic acid. The incidence of birth defects, neurotube defects, has greatly decreased, and particularly so in areas where there was a high incidence of these diseases. In some high incidence areas, the incidence of birth defects has gone down by 86%, which is a very dramatic effect. This fortification is basically to ensure that women who are capable of having a pregnancy have sufficient folate in early pregnancy. It also is affecting the rest of the population. So in some regards, this has been helpful for the rest of the population. The incidence of folate deficiency in the US decreased from 20% to less than 1% after fortification in all age groups. The levels of homocysteine, which some believe may be a risk factor for vascular disease, have been reduced from 20% of people with elevated homocysteine to less than 10% with elevated homocysteine. There have been some concerns raised that high folate may have an adverse effect on cancer rates. And this has not been proven by any means, but there is some logic to the idea that high folate may be affecting cancer rates. We know that folate antagonists have been used effectively for treating cancer, because folate is involved in DNA replication and repair. And we also know from very many epidemiological studies that if people are deficient in folate, they have a higher risk of developing cancer. What the concern is right now is if someone has a pre-existing cancer, taking high levels of folate may speed up the development of the cancer. And this potential risk is why some countries have not introduced fortification programs.
How do we balance the potential risks with the benefits?
Of course, from a public health point of view, you would not want to recommend that people become folate deficient just to ensure that if they have a pre-existing cancer, it won't grow faster. The evidence really is that having poor folate status actually increases your chance of getting a cancer, at least your risk of getting various cancers. And the evidence that high levels of folate intake actually speed up cancer development has a logic to it, but it's by no means proven. And so there are concerns that those segments of the population who are not at risk for having a kid with a neurotube defect may be receiving too high levels of folate is something that can't be totally eliminated right now. But for most people, actually having more folate has the potential of being in many ways beneficial. There is an upper limit for folic acid, and that's 1 milligram, and that's based on masking of B12 deficiency. A small percentage, maybe a few percent of the US population, is estimated to receive more than 1 milligram of folic acid a day. This upper limit is really not due to a toxic effect of folic acid, it's to prevent the masking of the symptoms of B12 deficiency. That is why in the US and many other countries, the level of fortification chosen to reduce the risk of having a child with a birth defect was not the optimal level for that reduction, but was to prevent most neurotube defects and at the same time not mask B12 deficiency.
Why is folic acid used? Is natural folate as effective?
There's a whole range of folate derivatives, and the one that is normally supplied in supplements or is used to fortify the food in some countries is folic acid. Folic acid itself is an unnatural form of the vitamin because it's not found in nature, but the reason why it's been used for many years for supplements is because it's a very stable form of the vitamin and it's easy to add to foods. There are some stable forms of the naturally occurring vitamins now available that are sometimes used in supplement preparations. Because the initial studies, the clinical intervention trials, were so successful with folic acid, it's really unethical to repeat these trials with other forms of folate or to test other nutrients without using folic acid. The supposition is that you don't absolutely require folic acid. Any other form of naturally occurring folate would work just as well. But unfortunately, that's never been proven. It's just what people believe right now.
Food Today. Science-based information on food, nutrition and safety. From UFIC, the European Food Information Council.